Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Keeping It Real. I'm your host, Emily. I'm here with my co-host, Bailey, and we're here to bring you another exciting episode featuring inspiring Métis people from across our homeland. Today, we are bringing on our harvesting expert, Craig, to answer a few questions. But before we get started, I was spending some time reminiscing about the last year, and I wanted to ask you, Bailey, what is your favorite memory of working with Métis youth this last year?
Well, there's been a lot of really incredible ones. We get to do a lot of really cool things, youth and seniors, Headstrong, but I think the highlight, and my guess is that you probably agree with me on this, but was the week-long youth camp we had, and I'm really sad that we can't have it this year because we really did make some incredible memories, had a lot of fun, so... How about you?
Yeah. Yeah. You kind of know me already. It's pretty well, but yeah, I definitely was like reminiscing on camp and like having a little bit of a bummer moment about the fact that we didn't get to do it, but we have so many good memories and just going to like miss hanging out with the kids, seeing them and laughing at their really funny jokes. Yeah. Got to wait. 2021. That's our year.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just actually thinking about the spring camp when we got to take the kids out into the waters with their family. I think that was the family camp and Craig was there and teaching everybody how to fish. So that was really cool. So do you want to go ahead and give a little bit introduction to who he is and why we brought him on today?
Yeah, so today we are going to be interviewing the M&A harvesting coordinator, Craig Letondre. So he works at the Métis Nation of Alberta Provincial Office, and he has been doing a lot of work with the harvesting agreement, negotiating with the government, and working to implement the actual harvesting agreement policy, all that kind of things. He is originally from Lac St. Anne, where he grew up with his grandparents. He'll explain a little bit more about who he is and his history. He is a lifelong harvester. He's been hunting and fishing his entire life. So he's very qualified to talk on the subject. So I would like to introduce you all to Craig Letondre. So welcome.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good.
So what's new?
Oh, you know, living life in quarantine. Keeping it real. Yeah.
Cool.
Doing not a heck of a lot.
Oh?
What have you been doing?
Yeah, no, I'm busy. Swamped. Getting all these questions, get the same questions every day. We're trying to figure out how we can, hopefully this helps a bit.
Well, we'll dive in and we'll just get you to, we did give a little bit of an intro, but you know, you had a little bit of a story to share to start. So we'll do that first.
Okay. Hi, my name is Craig Letondre. I'm the harvesting coordinator for the Métis Nation of Alberta. I work out of the provincial office. I've self-identified as Métis all my life. I was raised by my grandparents on the shores of Lac St. Anne. My grandfather taught me to hunt and fish at a very young age. It was our way of life back then. We were a commercial fishing family, so as such, we were always fishing and setting nets. A short little story about my early harvesting years. I can remember being 5 years old, and I came running into the house to grab a gun to go out and shoot a rough grouse, and my grandfather was not home. And my grandmother said, no, I couldn't take the gun out by myself. So a little bit later, I snuck back into the house and snuck the gun out and went out and shot the grouse, and I remember being so proud that I was able to contribute to our family's sustenance. And I did get in trouble, but it was short-lived. I think my grandparents were proud at the moment as well.
You can't say I've ever done that.
No, yeah, good times.
So, like you mentioned, you did end up, even as an adult now, working in harvesting, and you were... I guess very involved with the whole harvesting agreement. Can you explain a little bit about that and what it means for Métis harvesters within the province?
Absolutely. So on March 12th, the M&A signed a harvesting agreement with the province of Alberta, which gives Métis citizens the right to hunt and fish in one or more of the four large areas in central to northern Alberta. You know, that agreement, you know, is very important to the M&A. And Métis harvesters, for a lot of reasons, there's been a harvesting agreement in place for years. The problem with it, though, was that the Métis Nation was never consulted on the agreement, and the government never involved the M&A in identifying Métis harvesters or any of the processes.
So it's been something we've been fighting for a long time, basically.
Definitely.
Yeah. Like, why is that so pivotal to the Métis and something that we have been pushing for?
So I think that the agreement was something worth fighting for. You know, at least now the MNA has a voice with the government concerning harvesting. It is also very important because now our elders have a chance to connect with the youth and pass down their teachings without repercussion or fear of hunting or fishing illegally and getting charged. So it's something that, you know, it's been a fight for many years, and it's nice that it finally came to fruition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And like, so how did that conversation even start? Like, if we weren't even included in the initial bit, like what were some issues that were not issues, but like, was it hard to negotiate with the government, or how did we get our foot in the door?
Yeah. So, I mean, we've been negotiating, you know, back and forth for a long time. The problem was with some of the governments, they didn't take the, you know, they wouldn't negotiate with the MNA. They just, you know, passed it off. There was an agreement back in 2003 that was kind of an open-ended agreement that gave all Métis the right to hunt anywhere in Alberta. And then that was rescinded probably about 3 years later with the Ed Stelmach government. They just kind of got rid of the whole thing and brought in their own harvesting agreement. And that's what I meant by saying that they didn't involve us. They just, you know, put these practices in place and said, this is how it's going to work, take it or leave it. So, and that's been in place, you know, since last year so that's been a long fight going back and forth with the government. And so finally,
yeah, I feel like Ed Stelmach was in government. I was like so small, like I just barely remember his name.
Yeah, for sure. So Ed Stelmach and Ted Morton, you know, the guys that kind of got rid of the whole agreement and put in their own thing in place. Mm-hmm. And as negotiating with the government is it's a slow process. So you know, with the bureaucrats, you negotiate something, they go back to their people, and then they come back to us and say, no, we can't do this. Here's what we can do. And we go back to our people, and it's just, you know, bureaucratic nightmare.
So what were some of the biggest successes then? Because obviously there were a lot of hard times and struggles, but we got it done. So how did that kind of happen?
So I think definitely the biggest success is the whole implementation of the harvesting agreement. You know, from the time we signed the agreement, we started from scratch, built the whole system from nothing. You know, we developed an application. We developed all the practices that were put in place, all in a matter of months, like 5.5 months. We signed the agreement in March 12th of 2019 and started accepting applications September 1st of 2019. I think one of the latest successes is the fact that we can now update our citizens' status on Alberta Realm so that they can go and print off their own domestic fishing license. You know, now we no longer need to send the MNA approved harvesters back over to Fish and Wildlife to have that done. So just a little background on that is Alberta Realm is kind of it's a website that tracks all the, you know, hunting and fishing licenses and applications. So basically the two will be our MNA card and Alberta Realm will be kind of married together. So if we get stopped by a Fish and Wildlife officer, we'll show him our harvesting card and he'll punch in our MNA number. So that'll be the link is our MNA number. He'll punch that into his system and see, okay, yeah, we're in harvesting area D, you're approved for area D, you're good to go. So
that's really easy.
That's a big success for us. It's, you know, we don't have to send anybody over there. We can do everything all in house now, which is awesome. We, you know, we can service our people.
Is that helping with the like processing a little bit faster as well? Cause you're not waiting so much for the back and forth.
Yeah, no. So our process is all in house. We don't have to, you know, go. Everything was based off of the agreement. So we put, you know, the practices in place. So we don't have to go back to the government for anything right now. They're, you know, it's everything's kind of set. We just proceed as such. processing all the applications that come in. With that right now, we're just working on actually going fully automated online with the application, which will be awesome. So somebody will just go online and they'll just automatically punch it in. It'll go into our system and it'll start getting processed. It'll still have to be reviewed at some point, but it'll be a lot easier for sure.
That's cool. Yeah. So for our youth that are interested in harvesting and applying for this, what are some specific guidelines they have to follow?
So for youth, if they're under the age of 18, they will need a parent or guardian to sign their application. Then if they're over 18, they'll just submit the application on their own. So it's pretty simple. All the applications and all the harvesting information can be found on the website at albertamatey.com/harvesting.
Is there any guidelines like when they're actually harvesting? Do they have to have, like I'm not a harvester myself, so I don't, do they have to have a parent with them or anything like that?
Yeah, so there is some guidelines that concern that. So we kind of follow the province's age restrictions on that. You know, with a grain of salt, I mean, so the law just changed this past year. So at 10 years old, you can hunt game birds at 10 years old and small game. And then you still have to have the firearms permit and possession acquisition license. And then at 12, you can hunt any game at that time. However, to hunt on your absolute own, you pretty much have to be 18 years old. At 16 years old, you can hunt, but you'd have to have permission from a parent or guardian. Now, with Métis, that's not necessarily true either. There are some situations that, you know, a 16 or 17-year-old might be on their own. So there are different circumstances that would come into play there. So
what does permission mean? Like they have to have like a letter, carrying a letter with them or?
Yeah, kind of a letter for sure. And then, I mean, for somebody that's, you know, basically 12, 13, 14, 15, they would have to be with a parent or guardian while hunting with a firearm.
Yeah. So. Well, that makes sense though.
For sure.
Yeah.
Totally. You know what I mean? They have to learn at that. That's their learning years.
Yeah.
So
100%.
With kids, so any age children can get a harvesting card. So you can be 5 years old and get a harvesting card. With that would include fishing. So at 5 years old, you could go fishing. And there's one confusing thing that people are confused. For sport fishermen under the age of 16, do not need a fishing license. However, if you're following the sport fishing regulations, you can't keep any fish from lakes that you're not allowed to keep fish in. So with a harvesting card, you know, a five-year-old, if they caught a fish, a walleye in a lake that, you know, wasn't, we weren't allowed to keep a walleye, you'd be able to keep that walleye. I know, at 5 years old or 8 years old. So that would be the reasoning for, you know, a child at a young age to get a harvesting card. So they would start learning, you know, at that age.
Yeah. When I do applications, I always encourage just to apply for both because as soon as they turn old enough, you know, then they don't have to go through the whole thing again, right? So.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. Yeah.
So because you guys are still working on renegotiations in the future, how do you see that looking, the future of harvesting in Alberta and any future negotiations? What are kind of the next steps that you guys are going to take?
Yeah, so the next steps in the harvesting department is, you know, just to continue getting the word out about harvesting. And the other thing that the province has agreed is to negotiate harvesting in southern Alberta. Currently, there is not a harvesting area in southern Alberta. So they've committed to, in the agreement, to continue talks on that, which are very important to us. I mean, we don't want any Métis left out in the province, you know, and there's a lot of reasons that it was left out, you know. I mean, that would be a whole other podcast, but the thing is we just wanted everybody to know that we are continuing to work for Métis in southern Alberta. And you know what, it does sound promising. I can't, you know, speak for the province, but it's something that we're going to continue fighting for going forward. Some of the new things that we're working on right now as well is the Harvesting Council. So the M&A is going to be implementing a Harvesting Council. And so that's going to be made up of a representative from each of the six regions. And they will deal with a whole gamut of things. They'll deal with, you know, ongoing issues and concerns from the citizens, you know, reports of over-harvesting, you know, maybe some miscommunication in the field between harvesters and fish and wildlife officers, as well as, you know, possibly implementing, you know, rules concerning hunting and fishing. The things that other provinces have is that they actually have a complete closure of harvesting big game animals from January to July for obvious reasons. I mean, that's when the animals are, you know, having their young. You know, one of the concerns is that, you know, the bulls lose their horns. And so, you know, a cow moose might look very similar to a bull moose. I mean, there are ways to tell the difference between the two, but, you know, when somebody's hunting and they see something, they get pretty excited and they might throw that out the window and shoot a pregnant cow, which we don't want. I mean, conservation, we're all about conservation. That's the first and foremost thing. We don't want people over harvesting. Take as much as you need for your family and then, you know, leave the rest to flourish in the years to come so you can continue to harvest throughout your lifetime and, you know, all our kids and grandkids' lifetime. So
we'll just jump into some questions from the citizens now. So our first question was, if you have your Alberta Realm app, do you still need to carry your Métis card with you?
So the Cold's Notes answer to that is no, you don't. However, we all know phones die, which, you know, that might not be because the app is actually downloadable and it's on your phone. But I highly recommend carrying your card because if you get stopped and something happens to your phone and you can't prove it on site, you know, you could be charged. You have to prove who you are, you know, especially if you've got an animal down or fish in your boat. You need to be able to prove who you are and that you are an M&A approved harvester. So as I said, no is the correct answer. However, don't trust it.
Better to be safe. I was literally just going to say that.
Okay, so the second question we got was, if you lose your M&A card with your areas, can you just use the harvesting letter you receive from Fish and Wildlife and your old Métis card?
So no, that's something I wouldn't recommend. We don't have control over the letters that, you know, that's something out of our realm. We don't, you know, deal with the letters at all. That's Fish and Wildlife. So as such, you know, you really should have your harvester card, your M&A approved harvester card with you. If you've lost it, you can order a new one. I believe there probably is a cost for that, but to be, you know, above board and legal through the M&A, that's what I would recommend.
And it has something to do, doesn't it have to do with like the signature edition?
Correct. Yeah. There's, we have on the new cards on the back, you'll see, you know, the areas, it'll say Métis approved harvester, and it'll show the areas that you're approved for, whether, you know, it's A, B, C, D, or, you know, whatever ones you're approved for. And it has your signature on the bottom of it as well. And as I mentioned before, the tie between our card and, you know, Fish and Wildlife is our number now. So they're being updated. Anybody who had submitted a WIN number to us on their application has already been updated and they can go on and they can get their domestic fishing license. Anybody who's just approved, there is a process that we go through to get that done.
Right. And I know that people have also asked, one of the questions here is, do they have to submit the application for the M&A before they submit the application for the harvesting?
So yes, you have to be, for us to process it, you have to be an M&A citizen. However, you can put them both in at the same time. You can, you know, submit a harvesting application with your M&A application for citizenship, or even if you submitted your M&A citizen application in February, you can still put that in now And then what you would do is under the top where it asks for your M&A citizen number, you would just put application in process. And, you know, if you could put the date that you applied, that would help out as well.
Right on.
Okay. This is a personal, more like this is my, just my question. I was just thinking of, I got my harvester's card like a few months ago, and then I didn't like, I just got a win on my own. I didn't know. So like, did those link up in the Realm app or how does that?
So they, if you provided your win number on your application, they are linked up.
Okay.
If you've got your win card after that, what you do then is you send, basically what you do is you send a picture, a color picture mm-hmm. of the front and back of your card, as well as your win number to harvesting@mat.org. And that will be updated on Alberta Realm within a day.
Okay, so send color Speedy. Picture. Of, sorry, this is just my own question.
Just writing notes.
It's good information.
Yeah.
So okay. The reason why we need a picture of the front and back of your card is because we have to confirm your date of birth on Alberta Realm, as well as we have to verify the areas that you're approved for so that we can update Alberta Realm. So it's just a verification, and then we keep that on file as well so that if anything ever happens, we can fall back on that.
Sounds good. I'll do that then. Thank you.
Do that.
And then also, I know you get this one a lot too, but about proving your ancestry in Alberta. So for interprovincial Métis, what is the story there?
Yeah, so with that, you know, and it's a mainstream question. To become an approved harvester in Alberta, you must show an ancestral connection to one or more of the harvesting areas in Alberta pre-1900s. So basically, in effect, is what it is you need to show where your ancestors harvested, so then you would be able to harvest where your ancestors did. And the reasoning for that is Alberta, the fish and wildlife is provincially regulated. So they have set the parameters on that, as does every other province. They set their parameters on that as well. So, and one of the things that I tell people is that, you know, there's a lot of people who have ancestry from Manitoba or Saskatchewan, and they're in Alberta, and they, you know, their ancestry goes back to one of them. However, if there was a person such as myself, even all my ancestry is Alberta. So if I was to move to Saskatchewan or Manitoba, I wouldn't be able to harvest in either of them provinces. So that's the reasoning for that. They're provincially regulated, and as such, they keep it within their own province. They kind of protect their, you know, resources. The only way that is ever going to change is through a national agreement with the federal government.
Sweet. No luck here.
Oh, you just got to...
I'm going to move back to Manitoba. MLAs.
Tell your MLAs to fight and your MPs to fight for you.
Yeah. All right. And then one of our last questions, I think that we can speak to this one too, was somebody was wondering when we are running the next hunter safety course. And along with that would be FAC, I'm assuming, firearm safety.
Yeah. So, you know, we're definitely going to look at doing some of that in the near future. Well, I shouldn't say near future because, you know, basically there's nothing going on right now, mostly due to the current COVID-19 situation. So, in the future, you know, we're going to look at having firearm safety courses as well as hunter education courses. So all I can say now is just kind of watch the newsletter, watch social media, keep an eye out on the events page, and hopefully when things settle down, we'll get some more things in place.
Yeah. And I'm pretty positive you can take Hunter's Ed online, can't you?
You can. That's one of the things that the M&A has been discussing, is that we'd like to have our own hunter education. So that's something that we're going to be looking at as well. That might be, you know, another directive from the Harvesters Council. So yeah, it's definitely something we want to look at, you know, get some elders involved, and mm-hmm. and it would be a good course.
You know what we should do again is were you there? I think you were there, right? I didn't know anybody too well then. It was like right when I first started, but when we all went to Hinton and we got to like do the TLU.
Oh, I didn't.
We were all with one. Elders, and they showed us everything about the land. It was so awesome.
I heard about that one. Yeah, no, for sure. That's things like that are great.
Yeah, definitely. It was so fun. Like there was just like, we just stopped every time we saw something and they would like tell us what it was and explain. That was just really cool. It was one of the first times I ever got to see traps like actually set.
Really? Mm-hmm. That's one thing that I wish. And you know, my grandfather, he did some trapping, but for whatever reason, and I really don't know why, I wish I could go back and ask my young self, you know, why, but I really didn't pay attention much to the trapping for whatever reason. You know, obviously I did. I went with them. I kind of watched it and I knew a bit about it, but I did not, you know, get a good grasp of it and continue with that. Maybe it was because we didn't have a trap line, but that's one of the things that I regret of my younger years.
Yeah. Auntie Doreen's been telling us a bunch of stories about my grandpa. And she said like, he used to go out like at eight or 9 years old and just like wander into the bush for a couple of days and then come back with a bunch of trapped, like as how they survived and stuff. And he'd be like 8 years old and just like wander into the bush.
And you know what? And that's, so for me, that was one of the things that I did trap. I guess you can say it trapping, but I snared rabbits. And so I had a little snare line that I checked every morning before school and I'd check and see if I caught any rabbits. And so that was one of the things that I did and I learned really well. So I can still snare a rabbit.
More than I can do.
Yeah. So I guess as kind of one of our closing questions, if anybody has any additional questions or thought, like concerns, is there, like, I know there's a lot of like literature and resources online people can go to get more information. Can you just like let us know what some of those are if people are wondering?
For sure. Can
read more info.
Yeah. So as I mentioned earlier, on our website at www.albertamatey.com/harvesting, there's all the information that you can ever want to read on harvesting, as well as, you know, if you have specific hunting or fishing questions, you can email myself at clatender@metis.org. I mean, if you've submitted an application and you're wondering kind of, you know, I haven't heard anything back. If you have questions about your application or where you are in the process, you can email harvesting@metis.org and they'll be able to check into where your application is at there.
And I'll link that all in the description. I'll put the website and everything in there so it's easily accessible. And sure. Then just to finish off, what's some wise wisdom you have for our youth harvesters?
For our youth harvesters, what I recommend is I recommend all our youth harvesters to get involved. I recommend they all, you know, submit an application and get their harvesting card. I think when they get their harvesting card, they'll be proud of that harvesting card and they'll want to take the initiative to learn more and, you know, get in touch with an elder or their parents and learn the skills that their ancestors have passed down from generation to generation. So they can learn them skills and hone them skills, and then they can pass them down to their next generations and their kids and grandkids. And, you know, it's a way of life to live off the land. And, you know, should anything ever happen where you need them skills, you'll be able to live off the land and not have a problem.
Yeah, I think I need to take some lessons from you. I will have a problem if I have to live off the land. Thank you so much for calling in and joining us and answering all our questions. We really appreciate you taking the time out of your day. And I'm awesome. Sure the youth do as well. They can't speak on a podcast, but I'll speak for them.
Awesome. I appreciate you guys inviting me on. I had a great time and thanks a lot for the invite.
Well, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Keeping It Real. We'll catch you next week for our next Métis Monday.